Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, friends, I don't know if you have heard the story about the two twin boys. And by the way, I am a twin, so I can relate. And the two twins, one was an optimist, the other was a pessimist. Their mom was tired of trying to pull the one off the ceiling and trying to lift the other one up out of the basement. So she goes to the doctor and she said, "Doc, I'm not asking for much. I just want you to balance the two boys up a little bit." And the doc said, "That's easy to accomplish. When is their birthday?" And the mother said, "Well, it's ironic you would ask. Their birthday is this week." He said, "Okay, here's what you need to do." He said, "I want you to fill the pessimist room with as many colorful, beautiful, interactive toys as you possibly can. Can you do that?" She said, "That can be done." She said, "What about for the optimist?" He said, "Well, just go to a local farm. If you can locate one, find the largest box of manure you can and put that box of manure in the room of the optimist." She said, "Now, let me make sure I understand that. Toys for the pessimist, manure for the optimist." And the doctor said, "You've got it." So the day of their birthday comes around. She has her husband take the boys away from the house while she procures the toys and the box of manure. Her husband brings the boys home. They release them into their respective rooms, and she waits 5 minutes, walks down the hallway, and cracks the door open into the room of the pessimist, and there sat her little tyke in the middle of these colorful, beautiful, expensive toys. He had his arms crossed, and she overheard him say, "My neighbor across the street has better toys than these." And she thought, you know, it's not working. And so she slips across the room, opens the door of the optimist, and as she does so, she has to dodge a piece of flying manure, and she hears her little tyke as he's digging through the box of manure say this: "You can't fool me. Where there's manure, there's got to be a pony." And so I would say this, Gary and Sam, the little optimist was a hopeful individual. Would you agree, Gary?
I would. I certainly would agree to that. That's a great deal of hope, brother.
It is indeed. And gentlemen, the reason I told that story is this is going to be our topic of discussion today. How hopeful are you? And that depends, of course, on how you define the word hope. And in all candor, the word hope is used really in two different ways. Most today in our contemporary world will use the word hope in a negative way. And for example, I mean this, they'll use the word in this context: "I hope it doesn't rain. I hope I don't get sick." And in those two scenarios and a host of others that we could use as illustrations, hope is an anxiety over the future. But there is a different way to define the word hope and to use it, and that is in the biblical way the word hope is used. And in the scriptures, hope is defined and used in this sense: it is an eager anticipation over the future. Now, give me a couple of scriptural examples in 1 Thessalonians 5:8. The word of God says this: "But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope, the eager anticipation of salvation." That is our the consummation of our salvation in Jesus Christ, which is our being taken to heaven and enjoying eternity with our wonderful Lord and Savior. Then in 1 John 3:3, the scripture says this: "And every man that hath this hope in him," and of course, if you read it, that verse in context, it's the hope of Christ's return, which is an eager anticipation over Jesus' return. "Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure." So my question today is this: are you hopeful with respect to the future of the United States? And if you are, why? We want to provide on the program today some reasons that you can be filled with great hope. And so in segments 2 and 3, we're going to get an extensive update from our nation's capital on what God is doing there. And this will be a little bit of an extension of what we discussed very briefly with you yesterday in segment 4. Something happened yesterday. It was absolutely over the top, amazing. And it should fill everyone that is a Bible-believing Christian with great hope. And there's a lot of other things going on as well. So in segment 2 and 3, we're going to have two special guests that I'll introduce a little bit later. But Sam and Gary, I want to ask you gentlemen this question: are you hopeful for the future of our republic? And if you are, I want to ask you, why are you? And before I go to you, Sam, first, let me just cite this statistic. I found it to be very, very interesting. Fox News conducted a poll from December 11 to December 13 of this past year, this past December. And in that survey, they found that 59% of Americans are hopeful about the Trump presidency. 43% are excited. That's the way they would describe themselves. 41% feel empowered. So listen to those statistics again. Almost 60%, 59% are hopeful about the Trump presidency. 43% say they are excited about the Trump presidency. And 41% say they feel empowered by the fact that Donald Trump has won the presidency of the United States. And, of course, these statistics are in direct juxtaposition to the fact that 30% of the respondents to this Fox News poll said they feel depressed about the outcome of the election. So, Sam, let me go to you. Are you hopeful for the future of our republic? And if you are, why are you? Sam?
Dave, I am. Dave, I am. Am I here?
You
hear me?
He's
you,
a ham, Dave.
Dave. All right, good. I couldn't tell you there, okay?
I am what I am.
And Gary, because of this... Yeah. I am hopeful, gentlemen, for this reason. You know what? I think what I'm hopeful about is the fact that it appears to be at this point that the fundamental underlying problems that have plagued our nation, the approach of using government to actually further injustice rather than furthering justice, the effort to push aside special conflict of special interest, which is what the president just talked about at his press conference 2 days ago, rather than to wade right in and say, who cares about the appearance of conflict of interest? These are things that fundamentally underpin the role of government, and they're providing hope to me, because if the purpose and the role of government begins to match more closely what the Bible says it is to be, then, in fact, that can produce hope. It produces a scare factor for those who commit evil, but it does permit a very great hope factor for those who want to see and do things more in line with biblical principles and constitutional guarantees.
Sam, I think that's an interesting point you made, that those are the enemies of that which is constitutional, and certainly that which is Christian, are in great angst right now. They are upset. They're doing, many of them, everything they possibly can to try to disrupt, even before it becomes a reality on January 20, next Friday. The Trump presidency can become reality. They're doing everything they can to stop it. Gary, I'm just going to be candid with you. The fact that the enemies, and I do consider them the enemies of the Constitution, the enemies certainly of that which is righteous, the fact that they are so up in arms provides to me great hope that there are good things on the horizon for our republic. What do you think about that?
Well, I would agree. And, of course, along with what Sam said, you know, there are six or eight reasons why I have hope, you know, because of the fact that, number one, I just don't have time to get into all of it right now. But, yes, you know, from the religious to the financial to the immigration to the military, to the exceptionalism that the United States has and will become even to a greater degree as we get into the Trump administration and the Trump era, there is a lot of real good reason, substantial reasons to be hopeful, and I am very hopeful.
Well, I'll tell you, gentlemen, one guy that's not very hopeful is George Soros. You may have heard yesterday he lost over $1 billion by banking on the fact that the economy was going to take a downturn after Donald Trump was elected. Well, friends, the exact opposite occurred, and so he is about $1 billion poorer. Well, what is not hopeful for him is for us, and we're going to talk more about that by bringing two guests aboard right after the break. Don't miss it.
Securities and advisory services offered through Genius Wealth Management, member FINRA and SIPC.
Today, people are living longer than their forebears. Right now, more than 1 million Americans are alive past age 100. That means you need to work toward having financial resources that can give you independence into your golden years. But weighing different investment options may make you feel overwhelmed. You need someone, a trusted friend, who can come alongside and help you keep the complex simple. That's where the Life Financial Group comes in. For nearly 40 years, the Life Financial Group has helped thousands of families, not only here in Pennsylvania, Virginia, but nationwide, become even better financial stewards of God's blessings. Managing your investments may feel challenging, but by using a complete financial stewardship approach, you too can gain confidence and peace of mind that your wealth is protected and that you maintain your financial independence. With morally clean investment options, we can help you reach your goals while honoring your convictions. Call us at the Life Financial Group today at 610-385-4500 or online at thelifegroup.org. That's thelifegroup.org.
Hello, this is Sam Rohr. Although the term Christian education doesn't occur in the Bible, it does speak of the moral and spiritual instruction of children. It places a high value on knowledge, both of God and His works. It describes the moral and spiritual fruits of this knowledge and defines its ultimate purpose, the growth of your child in godliness of character and action. That's why we suggest you consider BJU Press K-12 materials. Your child's a unique individual created for a specific purpose. Proper instruction that includes the Bible and the relational influence of godly teachers produces a pure heart and a willing mind. The Bible calls that success. BJU Press materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. They teach critical thinking skills and keep your child engaged and excited about learning. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit BJUPress.com. That's BJUPress.com.
Kings or Parliament could not give the rights essential to happiness. We claim them from a higher source, from the King of Kings and Lord of all the earth. They are not annexed to us by parchments and seals. They are created in us by the decrees of Providence, which established the law of our nature. They are born with us, exist with us, and cannot be taken from us by any human power without taking our lives. A quote from John Dickinson, 1804.
Your child deserves the best. Shouldn't that include an exceptional education? PA Leadership Charter School is a kindergarten through 12th grade online public school serving students across Pennsylvania. Voted number one cyber school in PA, PA Leadership Charter School provides a flexible but structured approach to education. Visit PALCS.org or call 1-877-725-2785 to learn more. That's PALCS.org. PA Leadership Charter School is training tomorrow's leaders today.
A nation of well-informed men who have been taught to know and prize the rights which God has given them cannot be enslaved. It is in the region of ignorance that tyranny begins. A quote from Benjamin Franklin.
Freedom's Foundation at Valley Forge welcomes former Homeland Security Intelligence Officer and Foreign Policy Research Institute Fellow Jack Tamarcio to speak on politics, hacking, and the new Russia. All are welcome to attend this fascinating talk on Wednesday, January 25th at 7 p.m. at Freedom's Foundation. For directions and RSVP, go to www.freedomsfoundation.org or check out our Facebook or tweet us at FFVF.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Friends, we're talking about the concept of hope today and the absolute necessity of possessing it. And the Bible says this in Proverbs 13:12, hope deferred makes the heart sick. In other words, delayed or deferred hope makes one sick at heart. So to have hope delayed is a problem, and to live completely without hope is, I'm sure, and I would have to say, devastating, if not potentially life-ending. If you speak with those in the law enforcement community or in the counseling community, one of the things they will tell you is for a person to live, for them to have the motivation to get up day after day, they've got to have something about which they are hopeful out in front of them. And if that hope is removed, then there is really no point in the minds of a lot of people in living. And so that is our topic today. We're talking about hope and the absolute necessity of it. I want to welcome to the program today two very special guests. One of them is my son, Nathan Kistler, who is the director of our Hope to the Hill ministry. And the other is a dear friend and ministry partner at Faith in Action in the nation's capital. She is no stranger to this program, as Nathan is not either a stranger to the program, and that is Peggy Nienaber. And we're going to be talking with them in some great detail about things that happened yesterday on the Hill and things that are going on in Washington, D.C. itself, about which we should have great hope. Nate, I want to go to you first. I was on the program yesterday in segment four, shared a little bit about what you and Peggy and a couple of other people were privileged to be a part of. I don't want you to betray any confidences or mention any names that really you probably should not mention. But Nate, can you fill in some of the gaps for us and tell our listening audience what you and Peggy were able to be a part of yesterday? Because this is about as hope inspiring as anything you could possibly hear.
Yes, it's good to be on. It's good to hear your voice, Dad. We don't get to see each other very often, so it's nice to chat with all of you today. You know, yesterday was an amazing day. We were talking about it this morning as we were at Costco. We were getting ready for inauguration day and picking up food this morning. And so we weren't quite on the Hill this morning. We just got to the office, just got here just in time to start. But yesterday was amazing. You know, God has those special moments where they're really moments that you'll never forget for the rest of your life. And yesterday was one of those moments for me, and I think Peggy could probably say the same. Mm-hmm. We were trying to, I guess, Peggy, you could tell them a bit, for the past few inaugurations, mm-hmm. Y'all have gone in and
prayed for the president. For the past, every time that there is an inauguration, I have reached out to a member of Congress. You have to be escorted because it is a secure area. If you watch the video, you'll see that there's a segment there where the assistant sergeant at arms does tell us it's secure not to be there. But we've been able to do that. We do this for any president coming right. into office because right. we feel it's of need.
So we went in, we called, all morning we were scurrying around. I made a call the day before and was trying to get a congressman. And Peggy and I both had emailed and tried to get a hold of a certain congressman, and she was able to connect with one of his assistants, and they said we would be more than thrilled mm-hmm. To do that. So we went at 11 o'clock, met the congressman just inside the south entrance of the Capitol, and he walked us through, and we talked for a long time, and we were just catching up and talking about things that were going on. Mm-hmm. And then he said, I want y'all to be able, as faith leaders, to walk down and do this on your own, and I'm going to step back and just watch and keep folks from getting in the way, which he did. Mm-hmm. And so we were able to pray and to ordain with oil the pillars in which the president-elect and vice president-elect mm-hmm. and so many will walk down the top of the stairs there. And then we walked down to the doorway where the president-elect will walk out onto the platform there. Mm-hmm. And we began to pray and anoint the doorway with oil. And as Peggy was praying, the sergeant-at-arms did come out, and he said, y'all shouldn't be here. He started to say, security needs to be down here. And the congressman said, sir, this is a secure area. Everything is secured, is what he said.
I've
exactly.
got this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so he stepped away, and we finished praying. And it was a really just a special moment. It was my first time getting to do that. But I tell you, to experience getting to pray and knowing that the next leader of the free world will be walking through those doors, and that we've been able to pray over those mm-hmm. very doors where he'll walk through, was just a special experience. But I think the greatest part for me yesterday was going up to the Congressional Chapel and sitting, and we talked with the congressman for a while, mm-hmm. and we're able to pray for him. Mm-hmm. And I asked him yesterday, I said, you know, Congressman, how can we pray for you and your staff today? What can we do for you? And he mentioned a few things. He said, I need wisdom. Mm-hmm. That is probably the greatest prayer request that I have today, is to pray for wisdom. So I said, can we pray for you now? Or Peggy said, can we pray for you now? And he got up. He said, yes, he got up. And I thought we were all going to stand up together. He got up and got down on his hands and his knees and bowed before the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And
it was great.
It was just a special
it
moment.
Was great.
So it's very encouraging to know that members of Congress are faithful, but they also show great reverence to the Lord, mm-hmm. bowing on their hands and knees and prostrate, mm-hmm. You know, before the Lord. It was just incredible.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Nate, knowing who that congressman was, although we're not going to give his name, it doesn't surprise me. And it's great to know that there are so many men and women in Congress today who do name and claim Jesus Christ as their own personal Lord and Savior. But it's a delight to have both you and Peggy on with us today. Nate, I actually thought that yesterday when you went down there to anoint that area with oil that you were actually practicing for your inaugural address in 2028. Isn't that what you were doing? I thought that's what it was, really. That's what
sort of we're going to run together.
Yeah, I can. Well, you've got my vote. But anyway, Peggy, you know, you've been working with Faith in Action for about 11 years, and you've been in Washington, D.C. a lot longer than that, and you've seen D.C. in probably every possible scenario. But my question to you today is, would you describe the atmosphere that is now in Washington, D.C.? We're talking about hope on the program today. Would you say it's hopeful? Would you say it's fearful? Would you say it's humdrum? If you want, you can even say that it's dull, but that's up to you. What do you see in the... What's that?
You know, I said it's never a dull moment. That one I can scratch.
You can handle that one, I'm sure.
Exactly. When there's ever inauguration, when there's an inauguration, that you do see some excitement because it's history no matter what president comes in. However, I'm going to go back to yesterday. As we walked and talked in the hallways, and we talked to another senator, we talked to several people, the conversation between the two of them was so much more enlightening than I've heard.
Yeah.
You had concern through elections. You had just heavy hearts. You saw people just totally in a disarray. But yesterday, it was like somebody took those heavy shoulders that they had and lifted things up. You see, while there may be all kinds of media, I'm seeing more of a hopeful type of feeling on the Hill, more excitement, more social media feeds in the meetings that I attend. I don't even think we get to on point of what we're talking about because people are so driven by what's going to happen next week. You do hear of people saying, well, there are some rough edges. There's rough edges with every administration coming in, every president, vice president. We're not even just seeing the change there. You're seeing it within the members of Congress.
Yes.
There's always a little bit of concern. You've got new people. You've got people that you've always been concerned about and you want to kind of, you know, help change and guide them a different way. That's what we're here for. And that's what we feel is a good positive part. And I think we feel it among everybody on the Hill.
Yeah. Well, Peggy, and follow up to what you're saying there, there is a hopeful attitude, as you're saying, and we've been reporting on that because we tend to sense that across the country. But in a more specific way, if you talk about those who you are interacting with there in Congress, the senators, the House members, those who particularly the folks committed to the Constitution, those who know the Lord, what specifically are they hopeful for? What are they anticipating changing that will actually make things better for the American people? Can you be a bit more specific?
I'll try to be. You know, I think with having the amount of the Christians that voted, the evangelicals that came through, I think they finally stood up. You know, I've been to many of rallies on the Hill, many of things out in front of the Supreme Court when the Christian president was left. But I'm seeing that I think people are feeling like, okay, as a Christian, I can kind of stand up today and tell somebody I'm a Christian and move forward with my beliefs and kind of use that to guide me.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of different things on the Hill. I can go into a number of things, but I think as Christians, our beliefs and our faiths and our the things that we're looking to have help, we try not to mix the two in legislation, but I think we can lean to our faith to guide us. And I think they feel more they can use that to guide what they're doing.
Peggy, let me just follow up on what you just said. My wife and I were out having lunch just right prior to the program. We bumped into a lady that used to work at the bank where we have done business now for close to 25 years. She has moved away with her husband. She had her little grandson there. And we got to talking about what's happening in Washington, D.C., what's going on in the country. And she made this confession, which I found to be very, very interesting. She said, I have never voted in a presidential election before this one. But she said, it was so obvious to me that I must vote this time. And then she cited some reasons that we believe are very scriptural reasons for voting and voting the way she did vote. And she said, I was driven to vote this time. And then she talked about the expectation she has, the hope that she has for a different America for not only she and her husband, but for her grandson, 3 years old, that was there with her. I think this is what you're speaking to. And she is a committed Christian, this lady is. And she talked about the very thing you referenced. We can now have a little bit of the pressure taken off. We can talk about our faith. We can live our faith in a little bit more of an unmitigated way in the United States of America. And friends, that is something about which we should all have great hope. Well, when we come back from the break, we're going to continue talking with Nathan and Peggy about what's coming up next Friday on the Hill. You're not going to want to miss this conversation from a unique perspective.
These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us, that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. Thomas Paine, The American Crisis, 1776.
News Radio. I'm Pam Husso. Racial bias, excessive force, and severely insufficient training. Some of the findings of a federal civil rights investigation into the Chicago Police Department.
Our investigators have worked tirelessly to obtain a full and an accurate and an impartial picture of policing in Chicago.
Attorney General Loretta Lynch, the report being called sobering by Mayor Rahm Emanuel, who is promising reforms. On the House floor, continued debate over abolishing Obamacare.
People were promised that their premiums would go down, but instead they're skyrocketing.
House Speaker Paul Ryan moments ago.
For nearly 7 years, there has not been a single comprehensive health care bill brought to the floor by Republicans as a replacement for the Affordable Care Act. Not one.
House Democrat Jim McGovern of Massachusetts. Fox News, we report, you decide.
WFYL. From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. Newly elected Pennsylvania representatives and senators were sworn in last week, taking the oath of office and preparing to get down to business for the new legislative term. In the new freshman class of legislators are some strong pro-life and pro-family members who arrive in Harrisburg eager to use their influence to make a difference on the things that you and I care about. It's a time for optimism and idealism on their part, and a time for you and me to realize that true change comes when all of us get involved and engaged. First order of business, pray for your elected officials as the Bible instructs us to do. Next, consider taking time to introduce yourself to your state representative and senator and let them know what issues you care about. Lastly, connect with us at the Pennsylvania Family Institute to stay abreast of issues so you can exercise your citizenship throughout the year and not just at election time. The best way to do that is through our website at pafamily.org. That's pafamily.org.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
We're discussing today this essential concept without which we simply cannot live, and that concept is called hope. And this is Dave Kistler along with Gary Dull and Sam Rohr, and our special guests today are my son Nathan Kistler and our dear friend Peggy Kneeneighbor. Guys, I want to go to you, and I'm talking to Nathan and Peggy. I want to ask you a question. Peggy, I'm going to address this to you because you have been working at Faith in Action for 11 years. You've also been involved in things on the Hill for much, much longer than that. I'd love for you, if you could, to contrast the atmosphere that you see and sense in D.C. right now leading up to next Friday's inauguration of Donald Trump with what you've seen and sensed at prior inaugurations. Is there more excitement, more apprehension? Is there more hope, less hope? What are you sensing right now compared to what you have seen with respect to prior administrations coming into office?
Absolutely. There is more excitement. Now, I'm gonna give both sides of it, though, but there is more excitement. You hear hustle and bustle. I hear more in the meetings. There's more behind-the-hill events and private events and meetings of people just excited about what's coming in the next week. As far as the security has already started today. Nate and I noticed it coming in. There are certain roads already closed. That's never happened quite this far out. We've already had word that Union Station, the avenue of getting in and out of Union Station, there's only going to be certain doors that are open in Union Station. That didn't happen last time. So there's a lot going on with security as well. Out of what normally is for protesters, normally there's about 20 to 24 permits or buses that get approved and coming in, there's 1,200 this time. So you see both sides of it. But as far as for the Republican side and the Trump supporters, you definitely see the hustle and bustle. Our phone is ringing off the hook. Our door is being knocked on for people wanting to get those tickets. The tickets are just, there are none to be found. I mean, they're just going out the door like crazy. So there is that excitement and hope and looking forward to next Friday.
Nathan, let me ask you something as well. And Peggy, I guess I can address this to both of you. Both of you, like Gary and Sam and myself, have your finger on the pulse of the Christian community. You know, we deal with people in the ministry. We deal with people that sit in the pew on a oftentimes daily, if not certainly weekly basis. Nate, I want to ask you this because you travel, in addition to the work you do on the Hill, you travel, you're in churches, you're singing. Of course, you obviously grew up in the ministry traveling with us as a child. But Nate, based on what you are seeing as you travel from church to church, location to location to minister musically, are you seeing from the Christian community more hope, less hope, no hope? I mean, what are you seeing, Nathan, as you crisscross the nation ministering outside of Washington, D.C.?
Yeah, I was in Florida last week. I guess it's been a little over a week and a half ago now, taking a few personal days. And I sang at a church at the beginning of the week down there with a dear friend of mine who was speaking. And after the service, people were walking up. They knew that I was up here in D.C. a lot, and they came up and were asking a lot of questions. And I had many, many folks who had said they never really had paid attention, to politics and things like that. And so people, I think, are more interested at this point or feel like they have a voice. You know, Donald Trump, in a lot of ways, you know, has been an interesting character because he has been called by many of the middle class America, you know, America's president as far as the average American. So, you know, there are a lot of people I feel like who feel like they have a voice once again. And Christians feel like, Peggy said before, mm-hmm. Christians feel like they, for once in a long time now, have a voice, or they can live their faith out in a public fashion without fear of being, you know, beat down. And Christians, I think a lot of Christians for the past 8 to 10 years have felt like there was no point in either, you know, giving to ministry in D.C. or paying attention to the ministry in D.C. because they didn't feel like D.C. was, there were any Christians in Washington, D.C. I had a guy tell me that last week. He said, well, I didn't even think that there were Christian ministries in D.C. I thought that was a lost hope. I said, well, brother, you're sorely mistaken because there are, you know, over 60 or 70 Christian ministries here on Capitol Hill who have been working through the Obama administration and who will continue to work. So people, you know, are interested, and I think in an incredible way, in massive amounts of people are interested that have not been prior to this time. So I would definitely say that that's the case.
Nate and Peggy, I'm going to follow up in this regard with you. Nate, you're a millennial. We know from many discussions on this program, a lot of with George Barna in research, that there was a significant difference in the attitudes, the involvement of citizens, voters, and there was a change between the 50s, 60s, and above when it comes to evangelicals and the younger age. Are you seeing any increase in excitement perhaps on the millennial age as a result of what is happening right now? Speak to that age factor if you could.
You know, I've been, it's funny you asked that. I've been working on an article for an online publication for this next month called Five Reasons I Believe That Millennial Evangelicals Are Not Really Evangelical Anymore. And I really feel, you know, I went to a school, a Baptist college in Wake Forest, North Carolina, and I've had a lot of friends that I went to school with there that have come out. Even almost to the point, you know, either they've said, I had a professor actually that wrote an article for Fox News that said he felt the highest form of worship to God was not voting. And then you had that from that perspective all the way over to people who said, well, I think we should vote for Hillary Clinton because, you know, Donald Trump is this and that. And then you also, you know, you had a wide variety of things, but I really feel that the millennial generation at this point has been very disenfranchised. I don't really know why at this point, but I feel like they feel that they have lost something. They're much more liberal in a lot of ways than, you know, their prior generation. I feel like, you know, young people that are my age that are truly conservative, that love the Lord, but that you are fiscally conservative are an anomaly today. Now you find, you know, here in D.C., I have a lot of young friends that are Christians, and, you know, you really have to live out your faith, you know, here, and it's difficult because you're surrounded with so many people who have been overtaken by their education in the public sphere. And so I'm finding, personally, that I think a lot of millennials are not that excited about, you know, a Donald Trump presidency. And so I'm very concerned just by the fact that they're not, I don't feel that they are very, very conservative anymore.
You know, Nathan, it's interesting. You don't know this, but Mom and I, where we were having lunch, we had a topic or a discussion about this very, very topic. And the phrase I used, and I'm not trying to be demeaning, please don't think I am, certainly not toward you and certainly not toward the millennial generation. But my comment was this: so many of them don't have a clue what's at stake. They don't understand what it took for this country to be founded. They don't have an understanding. And a lot of it is due, Nate, as you alluded to their education, starting in the early years in elementary school, coming all the way through. They're in a public education system that is not giving them what they need. It's not equipping them with the true history of the United States of America and its founding. So they just don't understand what's at stake in this nation. And that is a tragic thing. But a young man like yourself and some of your friends there on the Hill that have their head on straight, they understand the importance of the Word of God in a person's life, and they understand the importance of the Constitution. You guys are worth your weight in gold. And so I am so thankful for you and the many of them like you, Nathan, that are up there on the Hill. Peggy, I want to ask you a question, Nathan. If we have time for you to respond to it and answer it, I want to go to you and let you do it. But you know, Nate, you grew up in a minister's home. You've seen everything that could potentially happen, good, bad, ugly, indifferent. You've seen it all. And Peggy, you have ministered with not just Faith in Action. You've ministered with Pat Boone. You worked for our Linkletter. You've now been with Faith in Action for about 11 years. You have seen, Peggy, the best and worst of Washington, D.C. And I just watched you early part of this week on Tuesday. You helped us offload and unload 108 boxes of gospel booklets, and you did it, Peggy, with incredible energy and enthusiasm, and I want to thank you for that. I want to ask you this question, though. What is it right now about which you are most hopeful? What is it that drives you to get up every morning, go into the office, and with the kind of energy we saw you display on Tuesday, what is it that motivates you to be as hopeful as you are?
My Lord and Savior, my God. I do that for Him. I don't do it for anybody else but for Him. I feel like that this was my calling, and that's why I'm here. What am I most hopeful for? You know, every time there's an administration change, what I do here on Capitol Hill is I reach out to those on both sides of the tracks, and I do feel like our doors are going to be more opened. There's going to be more avenues. For us to land that yesterday totally at the last minute showed that those doors and those avenues were open. And my energy comes from that type of thing, to know that my Christian faith, that I can move forward freely and not worry about it, you know, and do that. And that's basically it. My God.
Well, I'm sure if I were able to have the time to pose the same question to Nathan, his response would be similar. But Peggy, thank you so much for being on with us today. Nate, thank you so much for being on. And again, yesterday was a stellar day. I have no doubt that the next 7 days between now and January, the 20th Inauguration Day, is going to bring more phenomenal opportunities for both of you, for the ministries that you both represent, and for the cause of Christ in our nation's capital. Friends, when we come back from the break, we're going to wrap all this up and get Gary Dole to talk a little bit about how every one of us can have the consummate hope. What is all that about? Join us after the break.
Christian parents want their children to excel in spiritual growth and educational achievement. Both are essential for future success in an increasingly complex world full of moral and economic challenges. BJU Press Materials place great value on the knowledge of God in His works. They teach critical thinking skills your child will need to get along both now and in the future. BJU Press Materials are available for grades K to 12. From the earliest grades, they teach biblical Christianity as a system of God-revealed truths. BJU Press Materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. Teachers' editions assure that instructors have the plans and extra tools to keep your child engaged and excited about learning by teaching your child how to analyze, evaluate, and ultimately create new solutions. And that's just what today's workplace is looking for. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
Live, love, learn, and leave a legacy. These are great words, but if you want to leave a legacy to your children and grandchildren these days, it's going to take some careful planning. And that's where we come in. We're the Life Financial Group, advisors you can trust. We're Christian, families based upon the Bible, so that we can say we truly understand your values. In fact, for nearly 40 years, folks of all ages have counted on us to care for and grow their financial resources. Through prayer, prudent investment, and pleasant, knowledgeable people, we can help you navigate your investments so you feel secure. We're glad to offer morally clean investment options that won't sear your conscience or make you anxious. We're also comfortable talking about increasing the impact of your charitable giving. How do we make a difference? So learn how you can have peace of mind by calling us today at 610-385-4500. That's 610-385-4500. Or online at thelifegroup.org. That's thelifegroup.org.
Securities and advisory services offered through Genius Wealth Management, member FINRA and SIPC.
Up next, Dr. Carol Swain with 2 minutes to think about it. From high school dropout and teenage mother to esteemed Vanderbilt University political science and law professor, Carol examines the religious significance of today's most pressing issues and courageously exposes the cultural forces that threaten our cherished values and principles.
Hello, folks. By now, you've heard about the declassified government report accusing Russia of interfering in the U.S. election by selectively hacking the email accounts of the DNC, Hillary Clinton, and John Podesta. According to this account, Russia favored Trump over Clinton so much so it passed intelligence on to WikiLeaks. The American people were flooded with information they could never have gotten on their own. Of course, WikiLeaks denies a Russian link, and some U.S. experts claim the report lacks rigor. What are we to make of the situation? As a truth seeker, I have to confess I'm a bit more concerned about the content of the emails than I am about who did the leaking. For the past 8 years or so, I have prayed fervently for hidden things to be revealed. Many of us have asked God for a reprieve for our nation. Luke 8:17 warns us that there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. We can thank WikiLeaks and Hillary Clinton's poor judgment for helping change the course of our nation. The mainstream media no longer deserves our respect. Instead of investigating and reporting the news, it has become a tool of the liberal left. Until this changes, I can say God bless America and God bless WikiLeaks.
Learn more about Dr. Carol Swain at BeThePeopleTV.com, CarolMSwain.net, and on Facebook at Professor Carol M. Swain, Ph.D.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, friends, welcome back to Stand in the Gap Today. Our discussion today is hope and how to have it. Gary, I want to go to you. We've been talking about the feeling of hope that is, I believe we could say, greatly on the rise in our nation and certainly in our nation's capital. The things that happened yesterday, I think, are illustrative of that. But Gary, you're a preacher of the gospel, a preacher of the Word of God, and have been for decades. I want to ask you this. Can you address to our listening audience the way by which they can have the consummate hope? The scripture says this: if in this life only we have hope, we are of all men most miserable. So there is a hope that transcends life here on earth. So Gary, speak to that. How can we have the consummate hope?
Dave, I'd be glad to. You know, I think that one of the things we need to understand is that the hope that this world has to offer isn't any hope at all. And of course, hope that's just based upon what's taking place in this world today can die tomorrow. A person can be filled with hope today, but they lose hope tomorrow based upon the certain circumstances or situations that they go through. It's interesting to note, as we study the scripture, Dave, that Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12 teaches us that those who do not know Jesus Christ have no hope. They are without hope in this world. On the other hand, Ephesians also teaches in chapter 1 and verse 18 that believers can have a knowledge and understanding of hope, can have true hope, hope that is lasting, hope that is real, and hope that will endure. I think the question that we need to ask then is, what is hope from the biblical perspective? Because here at the American Pastors Network, we believe in the authority of the Word of God. We believe in the biblical worldview, which truly presents what real hope is all about. Well, the word hope, or one of the main words for hope in the New Testament, is elpis. That would be the Greek word. And it speaks of the favorable and confident expectation of the unseen future. And folks, I want you to listen to that carefully again. Hope in the scripture speaks of the favorable, and confident expectation of the unseen future. In other words, it's not just as though we are saying, well, I hope so. I hope I become a millionaire. I hope I get better. I hope I get a new car one of these days. No, that's the way that hope is in the world today, and it's really based upon very little. But when we look into the Word of God, the hope that we have in Christ is based on the total authority of Scripture and all of the omnipotence of God, everything that God is, and it's the power of God that's behind that hope. It's interesting to note that when we study the Scripture, that hope describes the happy anticipation of the good to come in the future. We can see that in Titus chapter 1 and verse 2. It also describes the biblical promises upon which hope, or that hope guarantees. We see that in Colossians 1:27. And then in the scripture, hope also describes the object of our hope, which is Jesus Christ, according to 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 1. And the hope that we have in Jesus Christ is based upon his resurrection and all that he is. But in addition to that, hope is used in Scripture to explain certain definite factual realities. And I don't have time to go into all of those in detail, but just allow me to give you a few. In the Scripture, hope speaks of the certainty of the resurrection of the Christian, Acts 23 and verse 6. It speaks of the certainty that all of the promises of God to Israel will come to complete fruition in Acts 26 verses 6 and 7. In the scripture, hope speaks of the believer's complete conformity to the image of Christ when we see Jesus Christ, according to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 5. In the Bible, hope speaks of the power of the gospel, how it can change a life and take away the gloom and the death of this world and give glory and life in Jesus Christ, according to Colossians 1:23. In the Bible, hope is used to explain the sudden appearing of Jesus Christ, Titus chapter 2 and verse 13. It speaks of the certainty of the rapture, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 8, the fact that the Lord Jesus could appear in the clouds at any moment and take us home to be with him. In the scripture, it speaks of the reality of eternal life in Christ, according to Titus 1, verse 2. And it also speaks of the coming of the Messiah to Israel, by the way, in Acts chapter 28 and verse 20. These are just some of the ways that hope is used in the scripture. And to summarize it, I will say this, from the biblical perspective, that hope is the certain and definite truth that those who trust in Christ as personal Savior have the assurance of the total care and provision of God in this life and the reality of an eternal home in heaven when our life on earth is over. That's a summarization of hope, biblically speaking.
Gary, that was absolutely a phenomenal sermon presented in just about 4 minutes. I appreciate that so very, very much. Friends, I hope you understand, and I use the word that is our topic today, I hope you understand that the way the Bible uses the term hope is not as the world uses it. It is not anxiety over an uncertain future. The way the Bible describes hope, it is an anticipation over a certain future. And the things that Gary just mentioned are all a part of that for those of us who know Jesus Christ as Savior. And if you do not know him, you cannot be filled with the kind of hope that we've been discussing on the program today. Sam, we have been concluding all of these programs of the last several months with prayer. And I want to ask you just to do this. If you could offer a word of admonition to those out there that know Christ as Savior, whether they're of the baby boomer generation, whether they're of the millennial generation, offer them a word of hope and help them understand how they should be living in anticipation of what God is going to do. And then if you would take us to the throne of grace in prayer.
David, I'd be glad to. I think just one thought that I would leave with those who are listening is that a person who knows Christ as Savior, who knows where their eternity resides, that's our hope of heaven, a certainty that yet to be realized. If that's the case, then do not sit and shield that light or that hope. Be bold, be confident in expressing and relaying to those around you, whoever they are, who are without that hope. We want to bring revival to this nation. We want to see blessing come back to this nation. It will be when God's people manifest that hope that they have, articulate it, live it out. The others will see it, and they will come and ask and say, what is different about you? And at that point, we've done what we need to do, and God will take and do the rest of the story. That's what I would leave here, Dave. Let's go to the Lord in prayer here if we can. Heavenly Father, we are thankful to be before you today as we're gathered with tens of thousands of people across the country listening to the program live and others that will join later today. It's replayed. We would ask, Lord, on behalf of all those who know you, that you would intervene as you have been in this nation. Lord, we pray specifically for those things that are happening in Washington as the world looks in the transition of power. Suppress, Lord, those who are opposed to you, those who embrace evil. Put those folks down, Lord, so that they cannot do anything but look to you. We pray, Lord, that as things go forward, that you may make out of Washington a light burn brightly, as it once did, so that the world may see. We commit all of this to you, Lord, now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Sam, thank you so very, very much. And friends, thank you for joining us today. In 72 hours, when we're back with you next week on Monday, we're going to be in the throes of Inauguration Week, and we have an inside track into what's going on in Washington, D.C., in preparation for that inaugural event on Friday. So don't miss a single day of next week's programming. And until then, friends, I want to admonish you, live in hopeful expectation if you know Christ as Savior, because as Dr. Gary says so many times, the best is indeed yet to come.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.
Live from beautiful West Norriton Township. This is AM 1180. AM 1180. WFYL.